This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, and Jim and I have our masks on, and we're 6 feet apart in our studio. So if we sound a little muffled, that's why we might sound muffled, but you have to let us know.
We just got one of those checks that we look forward to getting every quarter. They come from Kroger. And for people who are not familiar with, well, why would Kroger be supporting Catholic Radio? Well, they're really not. They're kind of the pipeline by which our listeners can support Catholic Radio. And what I mean is, if you have a Kroger card, if you ever shop at Kroger, you've got the little card you have to swipe each time to get all the bargains and all of that. If you go to our website, catholicradioindy.org, you'll see a Kroger reward card logo there. If you click on it and register Catholic Radio Indy as your charity, every time you buy anything at all, a can of beans, a loaf of bread, gallon of milk, whatever it is, every time you buy something, Catholic Radio gets a small percentage. And we got a check just recently for nearly $500.
Wow, that's
so good. You folks are doing a great job out there, and we appreciate it. But if you haven't joined the bandwagon, so to speak, there, it's really easy to do. And you only do it once, and you never have to mention it at the store. You never do anything at all. Just shop as normal, and every time you shop at any Kroger store here in central Indiana, we automatically get a little piece of the action. So it doesn't cost you anything, doesn't cost us anything, and it really does add up. So CatholicRadioIndy.org, and then click on the Kroger logo and just kind of follow the simple steps there, and you'll be helping us out a whole bunch.
Yes, it's really great. I know every time when my husband and I go to the store, we are really happy because we buy a lot of groceries. And sometimes I forget that we're supporting Catholic Radio, but that's a really easy way to do it. Well, today we are going to be talking about Catholic social teaching and the public square. And this is a very, very timely topic because there's so much going on in our culture in the public policy arena and a lot of unrest. But today, joining us by phone is Angela Espada. She is the new executive director for the Indiana Catholic Conference. So welcome to Faith in Action, Angela.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, you took the helm at the Indiana Catholic Conference, I want to say in January 2020, replacing Glenn Tebbe. Glenn Tebbe has been on the show many times over the years, but tell us a little bit about yourself, and then tell us a little bit about what the ICC does.
Well, first of all, let me say that Glenn Tebbe is irreplaceable. He was there for 16 years.
Wow.
But yes, I became the incoming executive director. I actually started in October and shadowing him, and then effectively became the executive director January 1.
Okay. So tell
a little bit about...
Yeah, go ahead.
A little bit about myself. Mm-hmm. Holy Angels is my home parish, and we are very excited because we are anticipating breaking ground shortly on a new physical church.
Oh, wow.
This is exciting because we've been without a physical structure for... since 2014.
Oh, my. Wow.
And you, unfortunately, you know, in that time, there have been some parishes that no longer exist.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so or have closed and had to be put with other parishes. And mm-hmm. so to not have a physical building, but we've had increased baptisms, and we continue to have confirmations and people joining the church, and so...
Wonderful.
That's been really exciting.
Wonderful.
To see that happen.
The same location as the original church or a different location?
The same location, yes.
And that's over on the west side.
MLK.
MLK.
28th.
Okay. Yeah, I knew kind of the general area where it was there. And I guess that's been an empty lot for a few years, huh?
It has been. But the school is right next to it also. Mm-hmm. The school is still there, Holy Angel School.
So tell us a little bit about your background and what you bring to the ICC.
Okay. Well, prior to joining the ICC, I was in higher education for a number of years. I was Dean of Students and Dean of Admissions at the Indiana University School of Law, the McKinney School of Law. And before leaving campus, I left the law school and I was the associate Vice Chancellor for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion.
Very good.
Took some time off to take care of some family members who had some health problems and helped with palliative care, and then hospice. Became a foster parent again for the third time, and so was really busy with that. And then really Providence kind of led me to the ICC. When the position was announced, several people sent it to me, and the job listing was fairly vague. It, you know, good communication skills, be concerned about social justice, things that happen in public policy or the public square, and people kept sending it to me, and I said, that describes me and millions of other people. And I looked at it, and I thought about it, and talked to my daughter about it, and she said, you know, you've kind of been quasi-early retired, but you've had so much with, you know, hospice and palliative care and the death of, you know, my mother and my brother, and then becoming a foster parent again for a teenager, which the first go-round with foster care, they were 10 and 11, and it's very different to be a foster parent of a 16-year-old female.
Yes, I'm sure.
So she said, you could actually finally enjoy retirement now. And the day it was due, I prayed about it, and I asked the Lord to send me a sign, and the day came and went, and I was like, phew, okay, no sign. And then the day after, a good friend of mine who is not Catholic sent it to me with a text and said, you need to apply for this position. And I texted her back, and I said, you're not even Catholic. What do you know about this? And she knew someone who knew that Glenn Tubby was retiring, and they had asked her kind of surrogate grandfather if they knew anyone like them who, you know, cared about, you know, social justice and morality as it relates to politics, but they needed to be Catholic, and these people weren't Catholic. And he's like, I don't know that many Catholics. He's like, but, you know, my grandbaby knows somebody, and she must be an okay Catholic because she's even gone to a few things at her church with her.
Wow.
And that person said, well, is she a good communicator? He's like, I believe she's a lawyer, so I think so. He said, what I know is that she has a wonderful garden and she sends me beautiful peppers every year.
Well, those are good qualifications right there.
Exactly. And then, so they said, well, get her name. And so he called her and she gave my information, and that person must have Googled me, because then when I called her, she said, well, they said you would probably say the deadline is passed, but they're going to wait until they get your application.
Oh.
So after she told me that, I thought, well, that is the sign I asked for.
Yes. Yeah.
Even though it was a day late. But what do they say? You know, not when you want it, but always on time?
Absolutely.
God has a plan.
We're talking to Angela Espada, ICC Executive Director. And Angela, for the benefit of our listeners who might not be familiar with ICC, in talking to Glenn Tubby, who you've mentioned a few times there, I used to kind of refer to at least portions of your job as being kind of a Catholic lobbyist at the State House. Is that accurate?
Yes and no. I'm Catholic. I am a registered lobbyist. But we consider ourselves the public policy voice of the church in the state of Indiana on matters of social justice and the common good. And even though these are matters of importance to the Catholic Church, we represent all people in the state because all people are affected by a lot of these issues. And so I'm a Catholic lobbyist speaking for the church on behalf of the benefits of the residents of the state.
So what exactly... why does people ask this question a lot? Why does the church get involved in public policy then? Talk a little bit about kind of what you touched on with the common good.
The church gets involved in public policy because it's our duty to do so. There are so many issues that that take place within public policy that touch on the Catholic social teachings, dignity of the person, from conception to natural death. Just this week, just recently, we were engaged and have been, about the talk about executions. There was a moratorium on federal executions. There's a federal facility in Terre Haute, Indiana. There hadn't been executions in 17 years. And last 2019, at the end of the year, then it was decided that there would be four executions held in Terre Haute between mid-July and the end of August. And so having conversations again about what that means, because when you say that you believe that life has dignity and it should be protected from conception to natural death, clearly an execution is not a natural death. And you cannot teach someone that killing is wrong by killing. I mean, that is illogical in addition to being immoral. The common good, allowing people to reach their full fulfillment, dignity of workers. People should be able to work without oppression or being repressed and have a living wage. Solidarity, to be able to understand that we're responsible for each other. We are our brother's keeper and sister's keepers. And subsidiarity. In the past, people have thought of that about, you know, keeping things at the local level. But more and more, when we look at it from a Catholic perspective, it's the dignity of the family and the right of parents to be able to determine, you know, how their children are addressed and treated and educated. And all of these issues that are important to us, decisions are made in the public square. So we have a responsibility to have our voices heard, so that when these decisions are made, they're not based on the whim or just choice, but that ethics and morality are guiding these types of decisions.
Now, the executions that you're talking about now are under federal jurisdiction at the federal prison in Terre Haute. And before the program, we were talking a little bit about where the state of Indiana stands when it comes to the death penalty. Maybe you could share some of that with our listeners.
Yes. Indiana has tension as it respects life. We have been able to do some things legislatively to make abortion not as accessible as it is in other parts of the country, and that's very much in keeping with Catholic teachings. But those same type of people who are very conservative and would respect life by thwarting abortion, many of them are pro-capital punishment. And so Indiana is one of a few states that still there is a, you can be executed in the state of Indiana.
Not on a regular basis, does that happen very often? I mean, it can happen. It's legal to happen, but does it happen?
You know, with the, you know, with the talk of executions in the month of July, we were doing research, and I think it's been probably, if not, you know, it's probably been almost over 15 years since there's been one in Indiana. But I could be corrected on that.
So there, so the moratorium, the 17-year moratorium, that was a federal moratorium, or was that, I'm guessing that was a federal moratorium, or where?
It was federal.
Okay. Well, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the challenges that that the ICC faces and as that Catholics face as we're trying to advance Catholic social teaching in the public square. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
Alexa, What's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we're talking to our guest, Angela Espada. She is the Executive Director for the Indiana Catholic Conference, which is the public policy voice in Indiana. And we were talking about Catholic social teaching, and when we were at the break, Jim and I were all just chatting here about how can Catholics view Catholic social teaching, or how can that help us kind of navigate the social unrest that's happening kind of within our culture right now, just with political polarity, and then you've got, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and all the different unrest that's going on. How can Catholic social teaching help us to kind of navigate these waters? Angela, what are your thoughts?
Well, Catholic social teaching, when you talk about promoting and protecting the common good, within that, we're talking about helping people reach their full fulfillment. If you recognize that in a society where there are people who are privileged and people who are not, the people who don't have that privilege, depending on what their situation is, they're not able to reach their maximum potential. So that's against the common good. If you believe and want to follow solidarity, which means we are responsible for one another, if something happens to you, then instead of just saying, oh, that's horrible, and not doing anything about it, then we become complicit. So those two pillars of Catholic social teaching says that we do need to be involved when there is injustice. Now, how you choose, you know, maybe being reflective on how you could do better when you are in a position of privilege and have a voice, to be able to use it, how not to be complicit if you see something and you don't stand up. I mean, I think there are different ways. No group is a monolith, mm-hmm. just like all Catholics aren't the same, all Republicans aren't the same, all Democrats aren't the same, you know, any organization. And so if people choose to go under the banner of Black Lives Matter because they believe that Black Lives Matter, not that they are necessarily supporting the organization, mm-hmm. which a lot of people don't seem to make the distinction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if people just stop and slow down and say, what is right? It is right that all people be respected. It is right that all lives be valued mm-hmm. in the same way. Then they'll recognize that while this is a movement, we don't have to just be caught up in the moment. Because of the pillars of social teaching, this is something that we've been doing for a while. And I was reminded of this by Archbishop Thompson, that while we want to do something, don't just get swept up in the moment. If you were going to try to make change, be a part of the continuous movement. And arguably, you know, the Catholic Church wasn't always on the right side of the movement. I mean, Georgetown University had and sold slaves. But for the last 50-plus years, the Catholic Church has been trying to get it right. And so decide how you can best be part of the movement. Look back to the social teachings. Try to remember, you know, the dignity of the person. try to promote the common good, try to walk in solidarity, and don't get caught up with the banner.
Okay, well, that sheds some light on that, so really appreciate those thoughts on that, Angela. Now, tell us a little bit about what happened this last session at the Indiana General Assembly, and what are some of the issues that you covered, and then we'll look ahead to what will be happening in 2021, if we can look that far ahead at this point.
Well, some of the issues that were covered, we were really active with the Fetal Remains Bill. It started off as Senate Bill 299, and the author was a Catholic legislator from up north, Fort Wayne, Liz Brown, Senator Liz Brown. And this stated that the fetal remains needed to either be, you know, buried or cremated. They could not be considered waste mm-hmm. and disposed of as waste. And we were happy to see that respecting, you know, these unborn babies was able to be done. And if, particularly in light of the horror that ended up being discovered from the former doctor who had performed abortions and then kept the remains
mm-hmm.
Because there wasn't really a policy. I mean, most people did what they thought was right, but there wasn't really a policy, and the Department of Health didn't have structure. And Senator Brown's bill gives structure and guidance as to how to do that. Another thing that we were really involved in toward the end of this session was the only bill that the governor ended up vetoing. It was SEA 148, and it was a landlord-tenant bill that was kind of snuck into another bill mm-hmm. that you wouldn't have known. It dealt with the unbalance between landlords and tenants unless you read it, which a lot of people don't do that for fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just read bills. And the timing ended up being strange as we went into COVID, but it would have given an unfair advantage to landlords and would have put tenants at a severe disadvantage. And recognizing that, and it didn't go through the process that normal bills go through, because it was buried into another bill, it didn't have a hearing, people weren't able to make comments on it, and if they had, it was still so very unequal. At one point, it allowed attorney's fees for a landlord, but not attorney's fees for the defendant, or mm-hmm. for the tenant, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were really happy, and there was a variety of different organizations that came together to fight this. And as we found out, you know, with COVID, if landlords had been given the latitude that this bill would have allowed, when the governor did the moratorium on evictions, this bill, the way it was written, the governor wouldn't have been able to do that.
Mm. Well,
that's how egregious that bill was.
Well, let me ask you, we only have about 4 minutes left or so. What's coming up, and then for the 2021 legislative session that we need to be kind of keeping our eyes on, and then how can Catholics help the ICC or advance the church's goals in Indiana? Is there something that our listeners can do to get involved? So two questions there. We got about 4 minutes, Jim. Okay.
Okay. Well, let me start with how they can get involved. They can go to our website, and it's indianacc.org. Or if someone would like me to come to their parish and tell them how they could get involved or tell them what we're working on, we're open to doing that. What we're going to be looking at this year, probably more religious freedom mm-hmm. issues.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some support on that line from the Supreme Court in their recent decisions. But also pregnancy accommodations, again, with respecting life. I mean, I said it was great that we got the bill passed that dealt with fetal remains, but we'd like to protect pregnant workers so that they could have healthy babies. There are several states that have a pregnancy accommodations bill. This isn't putting an undue burden on employers. California has been doing it for 20 years, and so they have a lot of research. Complaints have gone down. Jobs are more stable. And it's providing accommodation. Like, have you noticed at Target, the cashiers stand up? You know, if a doctor says a pregnant woman needs to sit, give her a stool.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what California found was the accommodations cost less than $100 for the employer.
Mm.
Another thing we're going to be looking at is increasing TANF benefits. That's temporary assistance to needy families, and these are the neediest of families. This is federal money that flows through the state, and although it flows through, comes from the federal government, the state needs to approve the increase. It hasn't increased since 1989.
Mm. Okay.
And so benefits that were appropriate that could help families. And again, little money is better than no money, but money that was to address issues in 1989 aren't sufficient to really help a family in 2021 going forward. But for more information, and this could change because, as you know, different authors present different bills. But again, if people go to indianacc.org, we do weekly updates on what's going on, and people can sign up on that site to get information from Voter Voice, because we also send out announcements through that. We've hired a new associate director. He's a millennial, and so he's very savvy with social media. So there'll be more opportunities to find out information on Facebook and Twitter, and we're going to open an Instagram account. So we hope to be able to give more information in a variety of different platforms so people will know what's going on and how they can help us. And if there's issues of concern to them, they can also contact us that way.
Angela Espada, ICC Executive Director, thanks so much for being our guest today.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.